Well, one more time. And we'll do this one, and we're trying our best to meet together. I want you to know that I've had a lot of things to consider on when we should get back and open church, but we're just about there. And I'm hoping, really hoping that this next week it's a done deal. And we'll go back and do what we're supposed to do. There's a lot of things to consider. And I hold myself responsible. I know God does, to make the right decisions about things like this. I'm not in any way living in fear. Never haven't since this whole thing started, and don't want you living there. God does want you to do that. Be safe, yes. Be smart, be wise, but there comes a place to where it's like, okay, I got to trust in the Lord. I'm gonna have to do what I got to do, and so, and we're gonna go back, and unless we hear something really weird, something just, you know, unless the president asks us not to do it again, which started this in the first place, we're gonna meet back. And but this one, as we do that, I want to challenge you with this one. I've been trying to bring God the messages God puts on the heart, and as comforting and as assuring as possible. I wasn't even sure how to title this message, but let me put it this way. And we're going to look at just following and obeying God's will. Just so, following God's will and obeying the Lord. And that word obedience is a word that nobody really likes in Christianity anymore. Nobody wants it in anything. But Christianity is all about doing what God wants us to do. We can lighten that word and say it's doing what God wants us to do. It's following the Lord. It's doing all these things. But the truth is that obedience is doing what God says, the way God says to do it. We don't write our rules. We don't say, well, I'll work it in when I can. And so I'm just using it as a little platform to jump off on this, and we'll go some other places. But in the book of Acts, Peter and the several of the apostles were being given a hard time by the ruling class, the Jews, Pharisees, and they just told them, you're not going to speak in Jesus' name anymore. If you'll knock it off, we'll let you go. If not, we're going to hurt you. And they decided they'd take the hurt, being locked up, whatever it takes. And this is what they said. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And there it is. I'm not going to tell you or even attempt to tell you what I think's behind all this stuff. We know that politics are involved. That's obvious. And a whole lot of other things and whatever else. But that's not for this message. But I'll tell you what is for this message. Somewhere along the line here, we're going to have to decide, I must obey God rather than men. And that doesn't mean I become foolish, careless, insensitive, or anything else. But friends, right now, I have a deep concern that too many Christians are obeying the media and obeying other things rather than God. God comes first. In Matthew it says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be added to you. I believe where it's really hit home to me, and this is for me, and then I'll get into the message, and that's for all of us. We haven't stopped going to all the places we go to get all the things we need, have we? And we're still out there, and yet we go get food, and we say, well, I've got to have that. I have to go eat, so I got to put on my mask. Well, don't you need spiritual food more than you need physical food? Don't we need God? Don't we? You say, well, I can worship it. I know you can worship at the lake. You can worship right here, and that's why I'm doing this message. But God said, don't forsake assembling yourselves together. And we come together, and it gives encouragement, and we hear the word of God, but we do more than that. We fellowship, and it just comes a time to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. Just challenge you with this. We ought to obey God rather than men. And you ask God what he wants you to do. I know what he's leading me to do. And I've got to do it. And so, but before we get into, well, we're not going to get into it. We're not going to take that any further except to look at this message. But we're going to talk about following God's will. Because, you know, when we say, well, I want to follow the will of God. You know what that means? I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to trust God. And that's the way it is. You know? And it sounds really good to say, well, I'm just going to follow the Lord and do His will and whatever God wants. That's real easy to say until Corona comes along. Or something else comes along, or somebody's telling you you can't do this or that. That's what they did to the apostles, and they said, sorry, we're not here to defy anybody. We're simply got to obey God. We must obey God rather than man. That's pretty tough, isn't it? I want to bring another message on love, and we'll get some love worked in here. But what we, you know, let me give you three challenges to obeying God and doing His will. You ready for them? Here's the first one. A real challenge to obeying God and doing His will is when it's not popular. This is what was happening to Peter and the apostles in the fifth chapter of Acts. They were told not to talk about Jesus, but Jesus had said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And He said, I want you to be witness unto me, beginning right here and going out. They didn't have a choice. They were following His commands. He didn't say, you stop for this, stop for that. You do it. And if you're going to call yourselves Christians, and this is where they were standing, hey, we're going to call ourselves Christians. We're going to obey the Lord. Well, then do it. We're not going to just talk about it. We're going to do what God tells us to do and honor the Lord. And they were told, you will not. And they said, we will. Pretty tough decision, but they did it. And for all of us, we have these situations in life where we're in the same boat. And we have to decide, am I just going to talk about Jesus, or am I going to really get in there and become a disciple and take up my cross, deny myself daily, and follow Him? And you say, well, this is kind of tough. Yeah. And it's not going to stop on anybody's head. I'm not trying to do that. I'm simply saying, this can go on and one thing after another. And it's like, so when are we going to obey God? What's God telling us to do? What's He telling you to do? What's He telling me to do? Obeying God, listen to me, obeying God has never been popular. When you really seek to obey the Lord, to follow God's will in your life, that means keep His word. Do what He says in His word the best you know how. And confess and repent when you don't, because none of us are perfect. But when you set out to be consistently trying to live according to this word, knowing what God wants you to do, it's not going to be popular. There's always somebody in the wings to tell you that you're being radical, you're too far to the right, we got to be politically correct. And let me say to you about this political correctness. Political correctness and the Word of God do not go together. Let all that we do be done in love. Let all that we say be said in love. But when it comes down to it, God calls it like it is, and that's the way it is. I have no intention of being a politically correct pastor. I want to be a pastor, at least that people can say, well, he does his best to preach and to live God's word. And I pray that God will pat me on the back one day and say, job well done, good and faithful, not political correct guy, but good and faithful servant. And I pray that for you too. So that's my little soapbox. Enough. We'll go back to this. Every Christian is here to obey God. And I want to say something to you, and when it's not popular, I have received probably more criticism, more hits in life, and so have you, not from unbelievers, but from those who call themselves Christians. When you try to obey God and do what He says and apply His word in your life, you know where most opposition comes from? Those that call themselves Christians. Isn't that amazing? Been that way all these years, ever since I've been a Christian, and it has for you too, and so don't let it stop you. Don't let it stop you. It'll be your own family, your own Christian people. And let me tell you, give you one more place that it can be very unpopular to obey God rather than men. It's in your personal relationships. It can get really tough in a marriage. It can get tough with kids. Kids want us to be real liberal and easygoing and not apply any strict rules. And how many times have I had it said to me, and our parents have shared with me, I just can't I just can't tell them they can't go out or they can't go to that party. And I know he or she's only 15 and there's going to be some 20-year-olds there, but I just can't do that, can I? And let me say this to you, you better, if you don't want to go get them out of jail later on, you better, if you don't want to send them to a rehab center later on, you better, you sure better. You see, when we talk about love and obedience, I'm throwing love in here because this, if you don't love the Lord, you'll never obey Him. To obey God, to seek His will and to follow it, you have to love Him with all your heart first. Or the best you know how, and love your neighbor as yourself. And to do that, sometimes love is tough. And you have to set some rules and guidelines for yourself and for those around you. And I'm not here trying to tell anybody how to parent, but I can sure tell you that I end up talking to too many people who were allowed to do too much, and they don't know where the boundaries are. Kids tell me, you know that. I don't know. Where do your parents stand on this? I don't know. They just let me do whatever I want. Really? Does God let us do what we want? You say, oh yeah, I can choose to do. Yeah, really. Do you pay any consequences? Is there any consequences? Do you pay a price for that? Yeah. God won't hit you over the head. He won't club you to death if you're going to go out and disobey Him. But how does it feel afterwards? And does it really work out later? No. No. And it won't for the kids. But this is not a family thing. I'm just simply saying these are challenges to God's will. Kids don't like it. Sometimes wives don't like it. Husbands don't like it. Mom and dad, whoever. We're here to obey God rather than men. And that's all I'll say on it when it's not popular. Secondly, what's an obstacle to really doing this is when you don't understand it. And I like this part better. I got a little cranky on the other part, but God gets cranky with me about it. You know, it's when you don't understand it. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge God, and He'll direct your paths or make them straight. Let me share with you just real quick some people that had some experiences with God and they didn't understand it, but changed their lives. They did anyway. Let me ask you something. There was a man tending sheep, been tending sheep for what, 40 years in the desert? And he looks up one day and a bush is burning. And his name's Moses, and you know all this. But let me ask you something. We read that, we say, oh, that's really neat. How neat would it be for you out here, all of a sudden, you go for a walk in the park or wherever you're at, and that happens to you? What would you think? You'd think, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen, and what's going on here? And all of a sudden, and in our culture, I would be willing to say this and believe that a bunch of people say, oh no, the aliens have finally, that's a UFO, something, a UFO. Yeah, it was a UFO, all right. The Lord was speaking. And a bush was burning and wouldn't burn up. It wouldn't consume. And we say, was that the Shekinah glory of God coming out of there? It made it look like a fire. I don't know, and I don't care. The Scripture says a bush burned that didn't consume itself. Because where God is, there's a holiness there that burns right through you. You ever had that kind of encounter with God? Where His presence, His Spirit just burned right through you. Burned out all the junk and you just end up taking off your sandals and just getting it out and right. But that was weird. Now, I'm not trying to be real religious minded here. I want to be spiritual minded. But let's call it like it is. That's a weird experience. And did Moses understand this? No. Did he have a hard time accepting what God wanted him to do? Yes. You know, I can't talk, Lord. I don't speak well. Well, I'll send you Brother Aaron. He made every excuse in the books. Finally, here comes Aaron trotting along, and all right, your brother speak for you. By the way, do you notice something about this? After all the excuses, who did the speaking over in Egypt, Moses or Aaron? That's the way it is with us. We make all these excuses, and I can't speak. I stutter, and I have all this problem. But then who confronted Pharaoh? Moses. When we get through all of our stuff, we find that God is quite capable of gifting us and enabling us, empowering us to do what He wants us to do. Give it a shot. But these burning bush experiences, and how about Peter when he was up on a rooftop praying like he always did, and then this strange thing happens. He calls it a sheet. You can call it whatever it is, a sheet, canvas, whatever you want to call it. This strange thing is lowered, and there's all these animals, and a bunch of them are unclean. And what does God say to him? Peter, the Jewish boy, who's never eaten a bunch of this stuff, he said, go ahead, take and eat, Peter. And Peter said, no, Lord, I've never eaten any unclean thing. What are you talking about? This is weird. Why would you tell me that? And he said, Peter, don't you call something unclean that I've declared clean. And a lot of people say, well, God changed the dietary laws there. No, God just simply said, it's not unclean anymore. Peter didn't understand. Peter thought God was just strictly talking about food. He did not know that some Gentiles, who the Jews considered unclean, were right there coming to his house right then. God told him that using a weird experience. I mean, who gets to see a sheep drop from heaven full of unclean critters? I don't know what was in there. It was snakes. I'd have had a hard time. I just said, no, I'll eat some of that. Anyway. But God said, don't you call it unclean. Why? Because some unclean people are coming to your house, buddy boy. And you will obey God rather than men. And you're going to go to their house. And you're going to go into the house of people that you have said you will never go into. And I'm going to take a message to the Gentiles. And mister, you're going to do it. Right? And what did Peter say? Well, I don't know all the exact words. I'll put mine in there. Okay. And he went to the Gentiles, and guess what happened? They got saved, all of them, the whole family, and they were baptized, and a whole bunch of good stuff started happening there. Simply because somebody didn't stand on their laurels or their religiosity, and he obeyed God. But was it weird? He didn't understand it. He didn't understand it really till he got to their house and then saw that God, what did he say? He made a statement, and I'll paraphrase it. Golly, the message of God has come to the Gentiles. You got it, Peter, but you didn't understand it. Listen, friends, don't wait till you understand something to do it. Just do it when God tells you to do it. How about David? We'll go back, but we'll jump back a little bit. God anoints David. He says, pour the oil on his head. He's the new king. Yeah, right. Are you saying God didn't do that? No, God said he's the new king, but guess what? He didn't become king. He ended up in Saul's place, King Saul's place, in his palace, and Saul tried to kill him and tack him to the wall with a spear, and before you know it, David is running for his life, and he's living like a wild animal and living in caves and being pursued. Do you think, really, David understood this stuff? He had an pretty easy life. He's the youngest, taking care of the sheep. Oh, he'd already killed a lion and a bear, I mean, with his bare hands or his spear. I mean, pretty tough kid. But what is that compared to being pursued into the wilderness and a man bringing an army after you to kill you? And this is after he's anointed king. Do you think he understood this stuff? Let me tell you something, friends. There's a lot of things in life that we don't understand, and I'm going to hit you with this. I bet you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, a burning bush and all that doesn't happen to me. Can I ask you something? Would you think about this? How many times have you had a burning bush experience? Now, really, I mean, how many times, think about it, in your life has something really weird happened? But you got caught up, and I've done it too. We get caught up in the weirdness of the event, and we miss the teaching of the event. Moses could have focused on that bush and said, this is weird, this is too strange, and wouldn't have heard the word of God. Don't you see? We've all had a burning bush experience, and more than once, when weird things happen, but we get so caught up in trying to explain and figure out the weird, we miss the teaching of the Lord involved in it. When junk happens, when stuff happens that's just out of the norm, and we've all had it to happen, could we just stop for a minute and say, God, is this you? I really believe in a lot of these situations, God will be saying, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. Quit looking at the weirdness here that you don't understand. And listen to me. I let this happen so I could get your attention, just like I did with Moses. now want to speak to your heart. And let's get it right. Let's get it holy. Let's get fellowship going here. And I used this strange thing. It may even be painful, whatever it is, but I'm using it to get your attention to say, I want you to go a different direction. I want you to learn something new about me, about people, about life. Could it be? Could it be that some of these weird things that God allows is a burning bush experience? It just could be. Or maybe it's a sheet lowered. Strange stuff. You're going, what in the world? It's not about the world. It's about God who made the world. And listen to him. And you'll hear great and mighty things you do not know. And then there's a third challenge to obeying God and following his will. And that's when it's not popular, you don't understand it, but it just plain doesn't make any sense. I was looking here in this passage in Joshua. You know, and, oh, Lord. You know, in Joshua 6, you can go over there and you say, God told these people to walk around. He told Joshua, and so he led the people, walk around the city of Jericho every day. Don't say a word, blow the trumpet, don't say a word. Why don't you do that for 7 days? Then on the seventh day, how many times? 7 times? And on the seventh time, blow the trumpets and everybody yell. Now, if you'd been one of the folks, one of the troops in Israel, would you have thought that's something that doesn't make sense? Would you maybe have said, I believe we have an issue here. Is God okay? Is God okay? Lord, are you serious? Yeah, you want us to look like idiots walking around? I mean, the people must have been laughing at them from the walls. Can't you imagine? Just think how it would be. It didn't make a lick of sense. But what happened on the seventh day of that last round around the city, and then the trumpets blew and the people just yelled out loud? Wall fell in. How many times have we looked back in our lives and said, oh, if I just listened to the Lord, if I, in a sense, would have just walked around the city like God said and let him knock the wall in when he said he'd do it. There was Jehoshaphat standing and surrounded by the enemy, and what does God tell him to do? Oh, just go out and get the musicians and the singers and just start singing, praising me. I'll take care of it. That makes sense? Dead to God. You see, we don't have to understand it. It doesn't have to make sense for it to work. Did it make sense when Jesus told his disciples he was going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified? We understand the story because we have it all. They were just getting it fresh. They didn't get that. You know what they thought he was going to do? He was supposed to go into Jerusalem and become a king here on this earth. Overthrow the Romans. Probably why Judas had such a problem. He pushed the issue thinking Jesus would stand up, and when they tried to arrest him and kill them all and knock him down, and he'd become the king that he wanted him to be. You see, Judas had a problem. It's not about Judas, but think about it. You think he might have had a problem? He was trying to make Jesus into something Jesus didn't come to be. Well, how many times do we do that? We try to make God, Jesus, into something of our own creation and force an issue. We want God to be who we want God to be instead of who he is. The creator of the universe. The one God. We're here to obey him, not to remake him. We all have to look at that, and we have to think about it. Sometimes we want God to just write it on the wall for us. We want him to put it in concrete. We pray, God, show me your will, and we wait and wait and wait and wait. And listen to me. If you wait for the will of God to make sense in your life, you're going to be waiting a long, long time. You're going to miss a lot of good things and a lot of good blessings. Because so much that God wants us to do does not make sense. Now, let me close this out. I'm going to give you a few insights here on finding and obeying God's will. First, you got to learn to listen to God wherever he speaks, and it could be in some weird thing like a burning bush event for you. Now, it may not be a literal burning bush, but it could be a little fender bender or coronavirus. It could be a whole bunch of things that, just the same, instead of getting all caught up in the stuff, ask God, are you here? Are you speaking to me in this? Is that what you're doing? What do you want? And he'll take you to his word. He'll show you. Pray for the courage to obey God. Listen to me. It takes a lot of courage to obey God and follow His will. It really does. It doesn't take anything to run, but boy, it takes courage to stand. You think about that. You think of that. And let me tell you this. You do not decide to stand when the moment arrives. You make that decision before it ever happens. With your relationship with God. You see, Lee and I talk a lot about military and basic training. I'm in his study now, doing all these. That's where these come from. God bless him. You need to pray for him. He lets me come to his house every Friday. But we talk about this military stuff. And you know, a good soldier, it's not when the stuff's flying, the bullets are going past your ears and all that, tank rounds are going downrange, that you decide to do what you got to do. You learn that in training, and you discipline yourself. So when it happens, you do it automatically. You just do it. Christians, don't wait till the enemy's pouncing on your head. Be prepared with the Word of God, with prayer, and the courage and boldness in your heart to follow God. So when the moment comes and the testing's there, you already know what you're going to do it. It's just going to be right there. And you can do that with the Lord. The Holy Spirit, that's what He wants to teach us and prepare us for, is that we're ready. Oh, we may shake, we may tremble, we may be confused and not understand the blasted thing, but we're ready and we hold our turf. We hold our ground, like it says in Ephesians, having done all to stand. In Joshua 1:9, what did he say to Joshua? Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid? Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And let's not forget that. So stay in the Word, meditate on it, think on it. God's going to speak to you. Trust God, watch Him work. So let me wrap this with this. God's will include these things. Believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You say, okay, 1 John 3:23 says, this is God's command, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He commanded us. It says this is His command. So believe in Christ and follow His commandments, and there it is. That's a beginning. Yeah, you know, above that is love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. But you got to believe in Jesus first. So love God with all your heart, love others as yourself. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. And it might be that you need to sit down at the burning bush and get okay with yourself so you can be okay with others. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and let the Lord bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You know, the faith and hope and love and kindness and goodness and gentleness, you know, the patience, self-control and all that. It says over in Galatians 5:22. And friends, God wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. What does it say in 2 Corinthians? For we walk by faith and not by sight. God led me to bring this to you for this reason. We're hearing all this junk. We're hearing one thing after another, and it's contradictory, it's conflicting. There's scientists saying this, doctors saying that. You know, it's like a world gone crazy. So why don't you just sit down at the bush and take off your sandals, your shoes, whatever. You get the idea. And just have some time with God and say, you know what? I must obey you, Lord, rather than men. Now what does that mean for me today? Father, lead us. Open our hearts to follow you, to obey you. When we fall short, Lord, lead us immediately to confess and repent of it and get right back in fellowship. Help us, God, to stand in obedience to your word. You've told us not to be afraid. Don't fear or be dismayed. You've commanded us. And you've commanded us to accept Jesus in our heart and to love one another. And so, Father, we yield to you and give ourselves to trust you, to follow you, to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and be your disciples following you. God help us this day and the coming days to obey God rather than men. And God bless your people as they step out in faith to do this very thing. In Jesus' name, amen.